So Hare Krishna, I would like to now welcome all of you. Again, our Gaura Bhavan has been filled with the light of the effulgent Vaishnavas, just arrived from the Dharma castle. I want to especially greet again those of you who participate in this lecture through the internet. Each Ekadasi, when I'm in Gaura Bhavan, that is in Berlin, I want to communicate with all of you on an important Krishna conscious subject matter. And today I was thinking to speak on the subject which is most interesting really for me as a devotee of Krishna. I will call it revelation, the essence of Krishna consciousness. It's a very important subject matter, and I do not think I will be able to cover all. I mean, who will be? Even if I would have a year, I wouldn't be able to cover all the subjects. I especially intend this lecture to be something which is hopefully an impetus for you to think about the subject matter in your own Krishna conscious life. In Deutsch sagt man, ein Gedankenanstoß. No? So I request you to think in an active way. I would like to introduce my subject matter. Now I remember one of the magic moments in my own spiritual life. It was during my preaching years, where I would travel throughout Germany and accompany the different, we call them Namhatta centers, the places where our congregation would come together, and I would accompany the centers, that means the individual people in the centers, on their spiritual journey together with another devotee, Ashok Kumar Prabhu, and it was a wonderful program. And it was during one of these programs, I still remember, it was in Wiesbaden, where a magical moment for me happened when one young art student asked me a question at the end of the lecture. It was a Mataji who had come with her friend. Both of them became my disciples eventually, but it was our first meeting. And this very, very wonderful and spiritually quite advanced person, who was maybe cultivating her spiritual life in previous lives. A friend also was a very spiritual person. They're both wonderful devotees. This Mataji, at the end of the lecture, asked to see me and asked me a personal question. She came in with her friend in the room, sat down, and I asked, "I have heard you have a question to ask me. Please ask the question." And this person looked at me, and there was a lot of, I would say, a lot of spiritual inquisitiveness in her eyes. She was really what you call ablaze. Die stand in Flammen. She asked me, "I have only one question to you to ask. Do you know who you are?" I was very, very, very amazed about the question. It was clear she didn't want to hear an ordinary answer like, "I'm a German," or "I'm I'm a monk. She really wanted to know who I am as a spiritual person. And it was after a long program, it was about maybe 10:30 or 11 o'clock. And I said, not yet, but I will find out. And I do remember there was a question which began to haunt me. Von mir Besitz ergriffen, die Frage. Like a ghost, this question would come back. Do I know who I am? I remember 2 months later, I received a postcard that had a Krishna picture, and somewhere I still have this postcard. I have kept it and I will keep it to the end of my life. And again, the person asked, you told me you don't know yet who you are. Do you now know who you are? I mean, some of you might like to know who is this person. Do you know? Yeah. Kashanki, yeah. And it's again, this question came before my eyes. Very simple question. And since that time, I have not forgotten this question. This person, this very nice devotee, was very serious about this question. She went to Vrindavan. She's staying for the last maybe 10 years in Vrindavan, and her only desire, or the only reason why she stays there in the cold seasons and in the hot seasons, is to hope to find out the answer to this question. Do you know who you are? You know, she wants to find out for herself that. And we, whenever we meet, we discuss, and we talk on that question. There was a time when our relationship became very difficult, I must say, because she was not satisfied with the answer which is given in Krishna consciousness, in our movement, in our particular movement. She had asked many senior devotees, and the answers just could not satisfy her. And then she went to Vrindavan and took an initiation in another Gaudiya Vaishnav line. That was difficult for me and for her. I felt that our life, our sadhana, it was not valued, and I felt a sense of personal defeat, I guess, that I could not satisfactorily answer this question or give an answer which would lead in the direction so that the person would be satisfied. And lately, maybe six and seven years back, I can give an answer to this question which is very much accepted and treasured by this person. And she has found back to Srila Prabhupada's line and my own spiritual school and my own spiritual training. And for both of us, this is gives a sense of great, let me say, gives a basis. Yes, we are on the right path, and everyone can, and other, and one can see it. So I would like to give an answer to this question now, and then give a philosophical basis to this answer, that we all know the soul is different from the gross and subtle body. That means it's different than what we appear to be. I'm now in a male body, but perhaps my spiritual identity is different. For sure it is different from this material male form. What exactly the spiritual identity is will be revealed by two things. The coverings of ignorance have to be removed, and the spiritual form which is within me, like a tree which is within the seed, it's there in the potential form, will prosper and develop through love of Godhead, because the identity of the soul is a lover of God. The soul is connected through love with the Lord. And I'm very happy to say, as I'm applying the process which is given in our tradition, the process, the ninefold processes of bhakti, something happens which is not to be discussed in public, something which I can only see as a revelation of the spiritual identity, which always happens when the relationship to Krishna becomes more clear to the individual. These are very confidential subjects. I want to say immediately that I'm not a self-realized soul by any means. That's not what I'm trying to say, but I could see after 40 years of practicing and trying to serve, some wonderful understandings and realizations to this simple but very deep question become clearer, slowly, slowly, slowly. Good. So let me now try to give you an understanding of this subject matter, which I think will satisfy you and which will invoke your own curiosity. I think you know, if you don't know who you are, you will never be satisfied. You will live a false life. The dream of illusion will continue. You will just be full of normal anxieties and worries, and you will mostly be controlled by what you are not. That is your material desires, your material misconceptions, and you will live a poor, ordinary material life. So it's very simple like that. Now, as I will start to talk, I see Mangala wanted to translate for Hari Seva. Is there some reason why you don't feel confident? You could go. Good. Yeah, good. So the gradual revelation of our spiritual identity happens as we become more aware of our relationship to Krishna. This happens in five successive stages, and I beg you to listen carefully to these stages, and you can find out where you are at the moment. The first stage is called Shravanadas, you are hearing from the scriptures and from the sadhus about the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. You hear that you are an eternal soul and so on. After this comes Varanadas. It's interesting. Varana means to accept. It does not just mean that you accept the subject matter which you hear, that you become convinced and that you feel, wow, I believe this, it's in me, it's my own understanding now. It means actually to also, that's one dimension of it, it means also to accept training, because it's understood that alone, that is just with your material mind and your intelligence, you won't be able to to shift the levels. Now you're on the material level and you wish to come to the spiritual level, and you need someone who just helps you to and gives you a training. And in this, by this training, which is information which comes out of, which comes from outside, you go on. Accepting means to accept spiritual guidance also. In Germany we say no dentist can drill his own holes. Kein Zahnarzt kann seine eigenen Löcher bohren. It just doesn't work. We have never heard about it. So it needs someone who comes from outside and sees from a different perspective than the patient and does the thing. I don't know, maybe some of you will now make research on internet and maybe you will find one dentist who drills his own holes, but this would be more an anomaly. Was nicht ganz normal ist. Or, as we say in another word, Münchhausen lied when he said that he could pull himself out of the swamp. Münchhausen hat gelogen, als er gesagt hat, er selbst hätte sich aus dem Sumpf gezogen. No? So, you need training from an outside perspective, and so on. That is Varana Das, acceptance. Then comes Sadhana Das, and this is now a very interesting definition. Sadhana Das is an attempt for realization. It's not more. It's a practice. It's an attempt. And it's on this struggle, it's on this level, where a lot of struggle and effort takes place. Someone who is a sadhaka, someone, in other words, who accepts spiritual training and then does the spiritual practice, has to struggle. He has to struggle with his own anattas, his own unwillingness and attachment to remain on the same level of illusion, and he has to be disciplined. He has to sometimes do something which his mind doesn't want. You all know, you perform sadhana, you know the challenges which you have, and my dear devotees, on this level you have to be very, very careful to, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, to welcome the beautiful goddess of Shraddha in your life. You must have faith on this level. You must have faith. Faith is never born of the mind. Faith is the awakening of the soul. And you somehow or other, you have to do things to be awakened. Today I spoke to two wonderful devotees, and one devotee told me that he wishes to go on a pilgrimage to Vrindavan. Yes, a pilgrimage can help to meet the beautiful goddess of Shraddha, and so on. Then comes the fourth stage is called Apanadas. It's a stage where you are still in this world. You're one of us, but you begin to develop realizations. And then comes Prapanadas. It's a stage of full surrender to Krishna, where you are an associate of Krishna. You serve him in his personal association. These are the five stages which Jiva Goswami describes in the Bhakti Sandarbha for the practitioner. It starts by hearing, accepting, practicing, starting to realize, and then having full realization. Now at that stage, and I feel this is a very important point, at the stage of sadhana, something very, very important happens. We spoke about one point, struggling. That is not the most important thing. Krishna begins to observe the devotee at the stage of sadhana very carefully. he will see how sincere the devotee is and how much he is willing to sacrifice for his spiritual life. And Krishna is becoming very sympathetic at this stage. He watches the endeavors, the personal sacrifices, and he has and one quality in him becomes manifest. It's the quality of being grateful. Krishna is one of his qualities is that he is grateful to every little service which is done, every little thing which is done, and he will never ever forget that. It's an sometimes we say it's an eternal investment, or yes, it's a permanent investment in our eternal bank account. We say like this. Krishna, this is because Krishna waits for this and he's very grateful for this. Everything you do, every single name you try to chant, he doesn't really watch so much your failings as you maybe watch in your failings and become desperate with your own thing. No, Krishna's vision is adosha darshan. He doesn't see the mistakes. He sees the endeavors of his devotee, and he is very, very grateful for this. The way he shows his gratitude is by two ways. He makes the longing in the heart of his devotees stronger. The longing in the heart of the devotee, that is eagerness, is the payment, so to say, which you have to give. And when Krishna sees that you are endeavoring, and even if you fail, he will take care of you, that you don't give up. If you have a good heart and if you are a devotee, he will make the longing stronger. That may take sometimes a period of 10 years, 20 years, but at the end you feel, oh no, I want Krishna. And you always wake up, oh no, I'm like today I also talked to another devotee on the telephone, and the devotee on the telephone told me, Maharaj, I'm really not progressing in my spiritual life. And I said, God, that you see it. This is very good. You have now a little longing. This is an investment of Krishna. This longing for Krishna, this I want Krishna, this magical moment which happens to you when you sit on Jamashtami before the altar and you think, oh, I really want to go to Krishna. That's Krishna's personal investment in your case. He gives you his mercy. He's like a big capitalist, huh? Who invests in your small failing business, which doesn't really work, and he gives you the investment so that you can operate in the land of Shraddha. That is Krishna's mercy. When the longing stops, your spiritual life stops. And that longing is Krishna's investment. When he sees that you are serious on this stage of sadhana das, which is not all that easy, which may take several lifetimes. You have heard, you have accepted, and now you attempt to realize, and it's a struggle because you have a nature which just doesn't want to go in the direction. You have a spiritual nature which wants to go in the spiritual direction, but you have a material mind and intelligence which likes to keep you bound to the material nature. So when you find Krishna's gratitude, Krishna's affection becomes clear when he starts to speak to his devotee. Would you like God to speak to you, Damodar? Wouldn't that be nice? There's a very nice movie because we have Veda Academy devotees here who are expert in movies, and I also saw this movie. It's called Saint Francis of Assisi. It's played by a very prominent actor. You must see it. And it shows something which is there in the diary of the early Franciscans. Francis of Assisi left the church because he thought it was a religious business. There's a beautiful scene which is described in it by his biographers. He went on the marketplace. There was a bishop there, and who said, "You should live a normal life like the son of your father." So when Franciscus heard it, he just took all the dress which he had gotten from his father, his shirt and everything, and he just gave it to his father and to the bishop and said, "Take it, I'm no longer yours." And he went to the well in the marketplace. He took a bath. This is very important for Christian mythology. You take a bath and you come out a fresh man, a fresh person, almost like the baby who comes out of the womb of the mother and walks into the world. No, he left his home and he left the mundane religion to start something, an order which was totally dependent on God's mercy. He was really a freestyle spiritualist. But then after some time, so many people joined him and they wanted to have an order, rules and regulations which would govern their religious order, the Franciscans. And he said, "Exactly, I don't want this. My only order is love God and surrender to Him. I don't want this. I have just left that behind." And it became a big crisis because the people, the early brothers, were pushing him to give them an order, and he didn't want to do this. He thought, as soon as I start institutionalized religion, I will just stifle the very essence of my preaching, which is simple and full dependence on the Lord and by surrender. So he left everything. He went into a cave up in the mountains. He was very frustrated. No one was allowed to come and ask him. He would not communicate to this maybe 2,000 brothers, and he was just about to give up everything he started, everything he believed. He became very ill. It was a very traumatic thing, and then he thought, "How should this go on? I started something at great risk, and now everything is spoiled." He was very desperate, and he went to a mountain which is now called Monte Veritas, the mountain of truth. One day I will go there also. I'm invited to visit this place, and I will go if I have time, by Krishna's mercy. And there he, this very nicely said, he said, "My Lord, I started this for you. If you don't cure this confusion now amongst my early followers and in my own heart, which tears me apart, then I'm lost. I will die an early death." Then he said, "Speak to me." It's so nice. In the movie, it's very nicely. And he said like this, "Mio Dio, my God, speak to me." He wanted to have personal direction. He wanted to have a revelation. He wanted direct communication. And then the Lord spoke to him in a language he could understand. He started to bleed in the exact same place as where Jesus was crucified. That's an important statement in the Christian tradition, and the feet also, the hands also. And he could understand and answer that he must follow the sacrifice of Jesus, something like that. It spoke to him, you know. He was clear what he should do. I'm not clear because it's not the language which was spoken to me, but he was clear. He knew. He was just shattered, and he was coming down from the mountain. He was just totally in bliss, and he couldn't talk for a few days. God had spoken to him. He had revealed his intention to him. So we hear how Krishna will speak to us in our tradition from the concluding words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's monumental work called Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita. All of you who want to know how Bhaktivinoda Thakur thought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions should be lived in this world, you must read this book. It is available in English language. They're very good. And there we find how Krishna greets the struggling soul. He says, put my orchestra on. O friend, I have been carefully holding a storehouse of divine rasa for you. You alone have rights to it. Previously you have rejected me and you fell under the spell of my energy of illusion. Continuously I have watched you and I have shown regard for you. Ich hab dich mit Aufmerksamkeit beobachtet. As you have attained this state by your own efforts, you know, he has made sadhana, efforts on sadhana, I am now extremely pleased. Serve my ever fresh, pleasurable form and play with me in the endless ocean of bliss. Do not fear and do not lament because you have attained the eternal life of bliss. For my sake, you have cut all the chains of material attachment. For my sake, you have done this. I will never ever be able to repay the depths of love which you have shown to me. Now be satisfied in your relationship. I like this very much, you know, this Krishna watching us as we struggle, Krishna being grateful to every little service which we do, every little attempt which we make. And then Krishna greeting us with open arms and just saying, I'm so grateful. For my sake, you have cut all chains of material attachment. You have stopped smoking cigarettes for me. You have stopped, pursuing a material career for me. You have been a good father to your children, although sometimes you did not like your responsibilities, to somehow give them an example in Krishna consciousness. For me you have done this. I will never be able to repay the depths of love which you have shown. So please be naturally satisfied in your own seva. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taken these words from a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna speaks to his beloved gopis who endeavored so hard to get him even after he had disappeared from their vision and had gone into the dark forest of Vrindavan where they just couldn't find him. The gopis had sat down at that time at the bank of the Jamuna, and after they had they became absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, they meditated and then they enacted the pastimes, they almost like in a drama, the ultimate religious drama, you know, where they enacted the pastimes of the Lord, and finally they had just sat down at the banks of the Yamuna and they had started to sing Krishna's various names with longing in their hearts. They had sung and sung and sung until Krishna could not keep himself separate from the gopis any longer, and he came out of the forest of Vrindavan. he was not happy that he had disappeared for a long time. He had the garland which the gopis had made to him, and he displayed it very prominently on his chest. He had removed his chadar and had hung it over his arm so that the gopis would immediately see there is only their own garland on Krishna's chest. The Lord had covered himself with that garland and as a sign, see here, I'm caring for you. It's not that I disappeared out of cruelty from you. I need to make your eagerness more. You were not eager enough. You needed to increase your eagerness, like that. This chanting the holy name with a mood of eagerness, based on faith that Krishna is there and he's watching me, and I want to reach him, is something which we discussed a few weeks ago in India with a group of wonderful Vaishnavas. We had ended our Kirtan Mela and we wanted to spend a little peaceful time, so we went with a small group of devotees on the boat, mostly we call it them the youth, people who were born in Krishna consciousness. I like always very much their association because you can feel they are very special souls who took their birth in a Vaishnava family. I personally feel very relaxed in their association, very happy. And so we went up with a boat on the Jalangi, and we went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house to spend a few hours in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's place. And there I told the devotees, I showed them the small little room where Bhaktivinoda Thakur chanted his rounds. It was like 1 meter apart. Times 1 meter, it was just a small cell, you could say, like a monk cell, like this. And sometimes when he became maybe a little tired or the air was stuffy, he would go out, especially on the early morning, in his garden, and there was a cement chair. Cement chair means a few bricks, and then cement over it, and it was a little cooling to sit on it. And he would chant his rounds. And his neighbor, at that time, he became later in his old age a sannyasi. He told what he heard. He heard Bhaktivinoda Thakur calling for Krishna on that cement chair. And he called in a voice which sounded very much like a person who calls another person, hey, come, please come, you know, like this. He said he had the feeling that Krishna listened to him and was just around the corner coming, you know. It was such an intimate calling, you know. Hey Gadara, come, hey Varaha, come, like this, you know, come here, you know. Kommt doch. So through that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur believed very much in the chanting of the holy name as something which would bring about a revelation of Krishna. He believed very much that if we chant properly, Krishna will come like he came to Franciscus of Assisi, and to the many saints in the history who tell us about their God realization. He said the main sadhana should be the chanting of the holy name. And he gave a verse, and I always like to show this he gave a verse where he spoke about a gradual revelation of the holy name. He said, in the beginning, our chanting is immature, and the holy name is more or less like a bud, in a knospe. But as we continue to chant, the holy name opens up a little bit, and it becomes more visible. And then some qualities come, like then we see the real form of the holy name. We see it's Krishna. And after some time, oh, this breaks now. After some time, the qualities come, like a rose, or this is a tulip, which shows its fragrance. Oh, not from Holland. That's how we say in Germany. Oh, eine Tulpe, die nicht aus Holland kommt, die riecht wenigstens noch. And then, finally, we end, the pastimes of the Lord are shown. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took this and explained it very much. And this is now the last thing which I will explain to you. So please be absolutely attentive, because here you will now get further instructions how this works. He said something, and this is the experience which several devotees in our movement with whom I have talked have had so far, but these devotees would not be happy if I call their names and if I tell too much about it, because these type of realizations are between the Lord and his devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you should first chant without offenses. You should learn that. And I have a wonderful tip for you. I would like to make a little exercise with you on this. Let me see where we are. Yes, we are in good time. We all know that the origin of all offenses, the root, the cause, the breeding ground, from where everything comes, is inattention. I think offenses is a word which is used in relationship. You have offended me so badly, says the wife to the husband, that I never talk to you again. Offending is happening in personal relationship, and it really starts with being inattentive to the needs of another person. That's when you start to be offensive, you know, when you start to break relationships. You're just not caring for the other. You are not even interested in the other life. So this is also where it starts with in Krishna consciousness, when you chant the holy name, but you just not care. It's just not there. It's just not important for you. Then everything else will come from that, disregard to the scriptures. You will not read any longer. Eventually, keeping your material consciousness alive and not your spiritual. So I have something very nice which works. And I would love that we do this together. I have to do my little. When you chant, it's difficult to give every name of the mantra your full attention. But what you can do is make an effort to connect your mind whenever you chant the first Hare. You know, the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Hare, it runs. And whenever the Hare Krishna, when the Hare starts again, I think I should point it like the you for you. You start like reading, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Hare, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You bring your mind there, and then after some time what you will see is you stay in the mantra, your mind will be in the flow of the mantra, and you will do what Gopal Goswami says, that is, your mind enters the mantra and the mantra enters your mind. It becomes one. That is how you should do. So let us do. I want to request you, I will say a few things to you while you do this exercise. Please sit tall. If I would do a japa retreat, what I would do with you, I would make exercises with you until you almost faint, because some of you are tired from the long day, but I won't do this. Let us chant together in one voice. And whenever you come to the Hari, just bring your mind to that Hari, and then you can relax your mind a little, because you can't force your mind all the time. And let it stay as long as you can with the mantra. Then Hari. And after some time, if you're willing to do this, you will have to fight a little with your ego and your bad chanting habits. But if you're willing to do it, it's a strong mind control. And I always say to the devotees, if you are so strong as you say you are, then try to remain with the mantra. Okay. I will chant one time alone, and then we will chant all together. When I chant alone, just listen to the mantra, and then you chant it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Now full concentration on Hari.
Hare Krishna.
No, that was nothing. You need to continue. I will challenge you a little.
Hare Rama.
You have to bring your mind. Now, full mind. Yes.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Make an effort now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Yes, full effort. And now stay with the concentration. Follow the sound with your concentration.
Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Enter the mantra through the Hare, and then stay in the stream, stay in the river. Imagine you go into the river like any river, the Ganga, and you float down.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. This is something you need to practice, you need to train it. Almost like you train when you do running or when you do any sports training or yoga training, after a few days you will see amazing results, but you have to try it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and this will be our last point, he says you should first start with chanting without offenses. You should start the process by chanting without offenses. That is, you should put your work on this. The second thing is, he says, when you do this, you realize after some time how you are separate from your gross and subtle bodies. This is when, as you chant like this, and I can tell you from the experience of many serious chanters, they begin to have a feeling that they are really different from the body and the subtle body. You realize that, for instance, also when you go to a kirtan mela and you chant for something like 8 hours, after some time you will see that you don't relate to your material thoughts any longer as you used to relate. You think, oh my God, I was thinking very unnecessary thoughts. I don't like to think like this any longer. I want to be more compassionate to others or something. You separate slowly from the gross and subtle body. And at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, this is very important, at the time when you understand, I have a spiritual form, I'm spiritual, at that time you begin to all of a sudden see Krishna before you. You first remember, he comes in what is called a spurti. Spurti is something which is just an impression in the mind which phases. Spurti is sometimes in the experience of Vaishnavas compared with a dream which comes and then leaves you. It's like a short visit, so to say, from another reality. But this can only happen when you understand that your form, you are different from the body. This is what I told the devotees, the devotee. You realize Krishna's form by the chanting without offenses, when slowly your soul begins to separate from the misconception of your body. And I had long philosophical discussions, not only with that particular devotee whom I mentioned, who asked, who are you, but with the school in which the devotees took new initiation. It's a school where the form and Krishna is not really in the beginning taught through a revelation. It's not a revelation, but you practice in a mentally conceived form. It's another way which we are not taught in our movement, but it is a legitimate way of going. You try as if you tried in a mentally conceived identity which is separate from the body. It's not something which is revealed. You try. It's a sadhana. It's a practice like anything else. And you hope that by trying it, something like an entrainment happens. That's a difficult English word. In Deutsch heißt es Angleichung. You become, and this takes more or less this form or this mental identity becomes, you find yourself in it. That's the school. It's a highly, I could now say many arguments why I think the school doesn't work so well in this time, but I'm not here to, at this moment, this is not a lecture to defeat other thoughts on this, other sadhanas. I just want to say we are not trained in this in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's and Bhaktisiddhanta's and Prabhupada's line, and therefore we go this way which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur outlines here. So then, as you he says, only the holy name reveals the spiritual form of the living entity and then causes him to be attracted to Krishna's form. So as you chant, you get purified from all this, you know, everything which covers you, and then the holy name gives you some love in your heart, some attraction to Krishna, some genuine devotional feelings, you know. And then you all of a sudden think, I must read something about Krishna, I must hear about Krishna. You start to become, it's very natural. And many devotees, my dear devotees, not so many from Germany, unfortunately, because the Germans have not really worked very hard on the spiritual advancement for a long time, but there are, because there were so much catastrophes happening in our yatra, but many devotees start very systematically to get revelations there. Then the holy name, as you chant, you will understand more and more of your nature. And the beginning is you will change qualities. You will think, my God, I'm so different. Your friends will say to me, what happened to you, Norbert? I'm not Norbert any longer, I'm Vamanadev, you know. What happened? You look so differently. But you develop other qualities, like for instance, you stop being judgmental, you know, and things. But it gets deeper and deeper, and then after some time, as you develop more spiritual qualities, you become attracted to Krishna's qualities. You learn your acts, it means your activities in the spiritual world. You feel driven to certain acts of worship, and then you all of a sudden see the pastimes of Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, by service to the holy name, we don't mean only the service of chanting. No! You know, the holy name is Krishna. We mean all the other services to Krishna which one has as a soul. By serving the holy name with body, mind and soul, the direction of our natural service to Krishna and our spiritual identity, our spiritual activities become spontaneously revealed and manifested like the sun in the clear sky of the chanter's heart. Then he says, will I say to you at the end what he says at the end? It's very amazing. Let's stop a little bit about this here. Spiritual realizations happen in the spiritual heart of the sadhaka, in what we call the Hriday Mandir, the Hriday Akash, the Dahara Akash, the sacred space inside the heart. And there it is that the sun of the holy name will rise in the heart and destroy the darkness of the ignorance, where you just can't see yourself and yet who you are. It becomes revealed, almost like when the sun becomes, when the sun rises, everything here becomes revealed, and you can see it as in the sunshine. This is how Krishna reveals himself in the heart of the chanter, sincere chanter. It happens in the heart, in that spiritual place where the soul lives, and then everything else becomes revealed. But it becomes not revealed automatically. This is wrong. This is very wrong. It's very wrong preaching. If someone says to you, just go, you have to learn the process, and you have to start to chant without offenses. If you don't do that, you will remain an eternal neophyte with no spiritual effulgence and no spiritual realization to you. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, it's unnecessary to write anything further on this subject. All the things will be revealed through chanting. He says there's no need to talk about it, no need to make a complex theology now, which explains this. Let the sun reveal it to you. You, everyone. But I want to end this class by saying sadhana dasa. As you engage in the sadhana, Krishna is so grateful to you. As you engage in your personal struggles on your spiritual path, Krishna is so merciful. And Prabhupada says this. I wanted to actually make a meditation on this, but I don't do it. He says, sometimes disturbances come on that path, on the sadhana. But the agonies and anxieties of the devotee are at once mitigated when they think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His beautiful form or the smiling face of the Lord. When I become desperate, this is what I learned from that devotee. I always look at Radha Syam Sunda and I look at his smiling face. Prabhupada writes, the Lord bestows innumerable favors. Der Herr überschüttet uns mit unzähligen Gunstbezeugungen. The Lord bestows innumerable favors upon his devotee. And the greatest manifestation of his grace is his smiling face, which is full of compassion for his devotee. Krishna sees it and he smiles at your struggles. When Arjuna was bewildered, do you remember, at the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, he didn't know, should I stay or should I go? You know, should I stay on the battlefield or should I leave and go to the forest? I learned this from Syamachandra. Should I stay or should I go? He was bewildered. What did the Lord do? He didn't get down on the psychological level. Oh, this must be because of this father complex and mother complex or whatever. He said, you know, he didn't say anything. He just smiled. He smiled. So when things get difficult, think of the smiling face of the Lord, and he, full of compassion for this devotee. Or Prabhupada said, visualize the laughter of the Lord after studying his smile very carefully. Hare Krishna. So what came out of our discussion? I'm very happy to say this wonderful devotee is sitting in the dust of Vrindavan and chanting many, many rounds each day and is learning harmonium and singing the holy names of the Lord and is visited by good devotees, good sadhakas, and they talk and they hear about the Lord from the Bhagavatam, and has very happy and spiritual life. So, because the anxiety goes away when you know that the Lord smiles at you even in your struggles and then reveals himself accordingly. Having said this, I want to sorry, I'm a little late. But not too late. I'm only 14 minutes too late. I will say goodbye now to our internet audience. I know you have many things to do, and I want to be disciplined. So I thank you very, very much for your for being with us in Gaura Bhavan. And you will have now the darshan of the smiling face of the Lord of Kanhaiya Lal. Sebastian will bring the camera there, and then whenever you are in difficulties, you can look at the smiling face of the Lord. Soon we will be able to upload a very, very wonderful picture of Krishna's smiling face, because we have made a photograph with a camera which has 80 million details or pixels or paxels or whatever it's called. It's Hare Krishna. So we will now say goodbye to you. Hare Krishna. Wenn wir weg vom Gold, dann kann man ja über Deutsch sprechen. Ja, was sagt ihr dazu, meine lieben Devotees?
Please continue, sagen die Devotees dazu.
Please continue. Sagen die Devotees dazu. Nee, die sollen sich zufrieden geben. Kannst du ja sagen, wir sind hungrig. Nein. Kannst du ja sagen, next Ekadasi, next Ekadasi. Ne? Continuation, next Ekadasi. Nee, weil man will auch mal Deutsch. Sonst, wenn man sich nur im Internet verliert, das ist ja fürchterlich. Kann man, was sagt die dazu? Langer Weg. Was sagst du dazu?
Das fühlt sich erstmal sehr gut an. Also ich meine es so, weil diese Frage, die Shangi gestellt
hat,
also wer bin ich?
Ja.
Bist du? Also diese, wenn man sich das, oder jemand fragt mich und ich fange jetzt an, eine philosophische Antwort zu geben. Das ist natürlich, oder mir selber, klar, wir haben das
natürlich
ewige spirituelle Seele und verschiedene vom Körper und die ewige Dinge natürlich das. Das wissen wir ja alles und trotzdem. Ist das letztlich, ist es ja, das ist spirituelles Wissen, aber es ist einfach nur
eine Vorstellung von spirituellen Wissen.
Intellektuelles Verständnis. Und das geht ja auch weiter. Die Devotees fragen mich dann, ist jetzt Narayan oder Krishna oder Vishnu? Und dann fängt man plötzlich an, über Sachen zu spekulieren oder zu reden, die auch in den Schriften stehen, aber die letztlich so weit weg sind von irgendetwas, was unser Verstand begreifen kann. Unser Verstand hat ja nicht mal, oder unser Geist kann ja nicht mal die geringste Vorstellung davon machen, wer oder was wir sind. Und insofern ist einfach diese Antwort, die du gegeben hast, oder die unser Acharya eben auch geben, ist sehr zufriedenstellend. Es muss offenbart werden. Jede Antwort, fast schon so, es fühlt mich für mich fast so an, so eine Antwort, kann nur die eigentliche, also so eine Antwort, die der Geist gibt, die verstellt fast den Weg, das wirklich zu erfahren. Und manchmal, man geht ja so nach 3 Monaten Bhakti-Programm, weiß man alles.
Ja.
Und hat eigentlich gar keine, es gibt gar keine Notwendigkeit mehr, irgendwas zu erfahren oder zu weiter zu hinterfragen. Und dann ist man nur noch was sagen. Also manchmal ist es, denke ich, besser, wenn man gar nichts weiß, sondern nur die Richtung kennt. Eben sich diese Inquisitiveness oder diese Frage immer wieder bewahrt.
Was ich sehr, ich finde es sehr gut, Gadala, was du sagst, dass du das sehen kannst, wie das eben nicht einfach jetzt mehr noch so ein mentales Konzept ist. Ich habe sehr aufgehorcht, als ich den Ernst Med Schrott getroffen habe auf einer Yoga-Expo. Und er hat mir erzählt von einer Begegnung, die er hatte mit einem spirituellen Meister, einer spirituell verwirklichten Persönlichkeit, einem Yogi, der sich einschaltete. Und da war so eine Konferenz von seinen Schülern und er wollte wissen, wie ging es voran, und die sagten, blissful, it's ecstatic, it's we realize the deep essence of your words. Und das ging immer so weiter, so hyperbolisch, also mit so Worten, wie man sie hört, ne? Und dann schnitt ihn schließlich dieser Guru ab, Man sagte, now say it in your own words. Nicht? Also was hast du erfahren? Was ist da? Und ich denke, wir müssen alle suchen auf dem spirituellen Weg nach unseren eigenen Erfahrungen. Und dann können wir mit eigenen Worten sprechen. Was mir sehr wichtig schien vom Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur und was ich eben bei Prabhupada wirklich so schätzen kann nach diesen 40 Jahren und plus Schülerschaft. Prabhupada hat ja immer gesagt, du bist nicht der Körper. Habt ihr das das fällt einem ja echt auf, dass das oft ist. Nicht? Und Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, ich meine, er hat das ja von irgendwo, dass das uns jetzt so eintrichtert. Nicht? Der ist ja, er sagte ja, I have not invented anything. Und als ich dann so sah, wie ich so las, wie Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sagte, du verwirklichst dich zunächst einmal als separat vom Körper und vom Geist. Und dann kannst du, dann ist es sehr einfach. Dann kommt es an mit Gottes Verwirklichung. Das fand ich sehr gut, dass du also auf eine spirituelle Ebene kommst, wo der Mind, der Subtle Matter, nicht mehr aktiv ist, sondern wo du einfach in dem Selbst verweilst. Nicht? Und dann kommt es. Und ich muss euch sagen, von meiner eigenen Erfahrung, wenn ich in Vrindavan chante, ich mache das ja nur in Vrindavan und manchmal ganz wenig, ich komme ja kaum im Westen dazu, weil ich so viel zu tun habe und so heavy arbeiten muss immer. Wenn man so wirklich chantet, wirklich so da dran ist, plötzlich, das braucht auch gar nicht nach vielen Runden zu sein, aber wenn du den Geist, plötzlich kommst du so dazu, wo du wirklich merkst, dass du deinen materiellen Geist siehst als etwas Separates, wie er die Welt betrachtet und so weiter. Und das ist manchmal fast das kommt dann zu dem Zustand, den die Buddhisten, die ja auch ernsthafte Sadhakas sind, die aber nur eben bis zu einer Nicht-Materie kommen, wollen, hoffentlich kommen sie es, du kommst zu so einem No-Mind-State, wo der Geist einfach nicht mehr so aktiv ist. Und das ist, warum ihr wart ja da, warum ich diese jetzt auch mehr und mehr diese versucht, diese den Geist irgendwie zu schnappen, auch in dem mit dem Hare, mit der Übung mit dem Hare. Merkt ihr, wenn man da wirklich, man muss den Geist wirklich dahin pushen, weil er will das zuerst nicht. Der will in seinen gewohnten Denkverlaufen bleiben und ist ja klar, das kann man ihm gar nicht übel nehmen. Der muss mit dem Wiedererkennungsfaktor sich durch die Welt bewegen. Nicht? Und das Mantra, da kann er nur eben einfach die gleiche, für ihn monotone Wiederholung erkennen. Nicht? Und nicht mehr. Nimmt nicht die spirituelle Vielfalt wahr. Nicht? Aber ich habe wirklich gemerkt, wenn man es schafft, den Geist mit diesem Hari zu verbinden und dann sich einfach tragen lässt. Ich denke immer dran, weißt du noch, wie wir in Burg Schönau, wie wir einen Tag dachten, wir machen Brainstorm und wir gehen auf die Elbe und lassen uns vom Kanu runtertreiben. Nicht? Wir, Kadal und ich, haben schon viele, also einfallsreiche, also nicht so, also das war unsere sehr einfallsreiche Weise. Wir hatten dann einen Grafiker, Theo, dabei und wir haben dann diskutiert über die Pläne, wie können wir mit der Vedenakademie weitergehen. Das sind alles Gedanken, die hinführen, also jedenfalls in meiner Wahrnehmung, zum vedischen Dorf. Wir haben lange diskutiert und wir sind mehr und mehr, mehr dieser Idee dahin entgegengekommen, einem Dorf mit Strahlkraft. Und dann lässt man sich so, da haben wir uns so von der Elbe so runtertreiben lassen. Und wenn du einmal in den Fluss reinkommst, das heißt in etwas, was in sich selber Kraft hat, dann kann dich das tragen. Und du musst einfach nur ins Mantra rein. Es ist so powerful. Und das mehr hat jeder von uns schon mal im Kirtan gemerkt. Kirtan ist wesentlich einfacher als Japan. Wesentlich einfacher. weil im Kirtan hast du die Power von den anderen, die sich bemühen. Und da wird ein mentales Feld erzeugt von guten Wünschen, von Versuchen, von Konzentrationsbemühungen und so weiter. Das ist wesentlich einfacher. Und deswegen ist Mahaprabhu eben auch the Lord of Kirtan, nicht of Japan. Das ist der Prozess Sankirtanam, gemeinsam mit anderen im Kali-Yoga. Das ist wesentlich einfacher. Ja, ja. Was denkst du, Vara, wenn du das hörst über was denkst du dir dabei?
Ich fühle mich im Moment inspiriert, das mal auszuprobieren.
Ja. Es braucht, Ananda Vardhan hat gesagt, es ist ein langer Weg. Das wäre es, wenn es nicht Krishna gäbe, der das beobachtet, der dann das monitort sozusagen, dann wäre es wirklich lang und einsam. Aber weil Krishna ja da ist und uns diese Eigenschaft der Dankbarkeit hat und auch sieht, guck mal, das ist ganz normal, wenn sich jemand bemüht, beim Damodar, wenn deine Kinder sich bemühen, zu sprechen irgendwie, nicht? Und da ist man doch sofort sehr klasse und sehr, sehr motiviert zu helfen oder das als zu akzeptieren, nicht? So, es ist die aufrichtige Bemühung. Ja, ihr Lieben, wir wollen euch nicht unnötig lang festhalten. Ich sehe schon, Kanupriya, du gehst wahrscheinlich und richtest das Mahl an. Ja, ich glaube, Sebastian ist da, kannst du mal sehen. Wir haben ein bisschen Prasadam für euch, einen kurzen zur Stärkung ein bisschen was. Wenn ihr schon zum Gora Bhavan kommt, sollt ihr ein bisschen gestärkt werden. Und ja, dann wünsche ich euch alles Gute und wir sind morgen noch da und fahren dann los zu einem tollen
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare, Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada,